Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
And thank you for tuning in. Today's show, we have the premiere episode of 33 Half Moon Street. And that's the address of an agency that does whatever they can to help their clients. Enjoy these back-to-back episodes, and if you listen on Spotify, let me know what you think of it in the comments. You can also let me know what you think of it by sending me an email at mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. You can also look me up on Twitter or Instagram, and you can find those links in the description below. And as always, please follow, like, rate, and review the show. Now, once more, enjoy 33 Half Moon Street.
Aubrey Mason at your service. At Assignments Unlimited, we do anything, anywhere, at any time.
33 Half Moon Street.
The moment you feel a cold coming on, turn to Snellerin for help. Snellerin is a tried, effective remedy that defeats flu misery. You feel better quickly with Snellerin.
What does tomorrow hold for you? All the good things in life? Then you'd better start planning for them now by saving regularly each month. Yes, you've got a plan, and you've got to save.
Let's get together with the NBS. Save your money, yes, yes.
Save for a brighter tomorrow.
Yes, the Natal Building Society is the ideal choice for today's young people, because the NBS is South Africa's go-ahead building society.
Motorists. The new name for all genuine Ford parts is Formoco. F-O-M-O-C-O. To get high-precision parts that are made right to fit right, make sure they carry the name Formoco.
The story I'm going to tell you tonight, taken from a dossier of an assignment we handled, is called Parson's Pride.
Here now is Aubrey Mason.
What a mistake it is to judge people by their appearance. This is a fact which has been brought home to me many, many times since Assignment Unlimited came into being. The assignment I'm going to tell you about tonight will prove my point very forcibly. It began when the intercom on my desk buzzed.
A Mrs. Parsons, who has an appointment for 3 o'clock, has arrived. Shall I send her through?
Yes, please. At that moment, well, she was only a name in my diary. Mrs. A. Parsons. For the next moment, the door opened.
Mrs. Parsons.
She was tall, about 5'6", but her auburn hair piled on top of her head made her look taller and slimmer than ever. She had an exquisite face set on a long neck. She was expensively dressed and immaculately groomed. Her eyes were big and brown, and her mouth was soft and generous. I put her age at about 38. I stood to receive her, and she extended a white-gloved hand in greeting. How do you do, Mrs. Parsons?
How do you do?
Oh, please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Now then, how can I help you?
May I preface what I'm going to say by showing you something?
Well, of course.
It's in my bag. Here we are.
Diamonds. Beautiful diamonds, too.
To be more precise, Mr. Mason, a diamond earring.
Exquisite. Well, tell me more.
It's one of a pair valued at £5,000. The other is lost. Or rather, it's not lost. It's... Well, this sounds so silly. I know where it is, but I can't get at it. That's why I've come here.
Do I take it that the earring is inaccessible and... Well, you want us to retrieve it for you?
Precisely, Mr. Mason.
Well, it sounds intriguing. Now, before we go any further, may I take down a few particulars?
Certainly.
Now, your full name is...
Angela Parsons.
Angela Parsons. Your address?
My home address is Harrogate in Yorkshire, but I'm staying at the Hilton Hotel in Park Lane. I came down here to do some shopping and see some shows.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you. And where is the earring?
At the Hilton Hotel, in the basement.
Yes?
I have a room on the first floor. Last evening, I'd been out to dinner in the theatre with some friends. It was quite late when I got back. In fact, it was during the early hours. I was very tired, and I'm afraid I was rather careless. I took off my earrings and necklace and put them on the dressing table. This morning, I ordered breakfast in my room. The waitress came in with a tray, and I had it at my bedside. When I'd finished, I wanted to tidy the place up a bit, so I moved the tray and put it on the end of the dressing table. When I'd put it down, I pushed it on so that it would be safer. But in doing so, the back of the tray pushed my jewelry. Well, in the wall, behind the dressing table, there's a vent. And when I pushed the tray, the back of the tray pushed one of my earrings into the vent. Well, of course, I realized immediately what I'd done, and I called the hotel manager.
I'm sorry to have been so long, Mrs. Parsons. I came as soon as I could. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
The earring, which matches this one, is in there, in that vent. It was my fault. I pushed it with my breakfast tray.
Oh, dear.
I wanted to get somebody up here to remove the grill and get my earring out.
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to be as easy as that. You see, that grill is part of our air conditioning. The air is extracted through it, goes down to the basement through our air conditioning plant, and...
You mean behind the grill there's a duct which leads down into the basement?
Yes, just so.
Then my earring's in the basement, and I want it. It's a very valuable piece of jewelry.
Oh, Mrs. Parsons, I'll do everything I can. I'll go and investigate the situation immediately.
The poor man came back to inform me that the air duct down which my earring had fallen joined a horizontal duct in the basement. It was totally inaccessible, he said.
But surely he considered dismantling that part of the system?
Oh, yes. And blithely informed me that the cost would be £200. Frankly, Mr. Mason, I considered that to be excessive.
Forgive me, Mrs. Parsons, but... Well, am I right in thinking that your jewelry is insured?
You are?
Well, then there's surely no problem.
Again, I'm forced to be frank with you. I am what the insurance companies call a liability, high risk. I've made so many claims on them in the past for lost and damaged personal effects that if I claim again for this, my next premium is going to be very high indeed. It occurred to me that there was perhaps a cheaper way of recovering my earring. I've spoken to the maintenance people at the hotel, and they hummed and hawed. They clearly weren't interested. I contacted the air conditioning people myself. They weren't very cooperative either. They assured me that the only way of getting to the earring would be to dismantle the air ducts. Oh, you can imagine how frustrated I was. I went down to the basement myself and had a look at the situation. It suddenly occurred to me that if the grill at the end of the horizontal duct were removed, and someone got inside and crawled along to where the vertical duct from my room came down, it would be easy. Do you think I can find anybody who's willing to do that? Not even the smallest page boy in the hotel. The manager won't allow it.
Why not?
Oh, apparently some question of insurance. He has no policy covering this sort of thing.
How infuriating for you.
It's such a simple job. In sheer desperation, I consulted the personal column of the Evening Standard. I saw your advertisement, phoned to make an appointment, and, well, here I am. Will you help me?
We'd be delighted, Mrs. Parsons.
You do this sort of thing?
It's this sort of thing that keeps us in business.
Oh. You can guarantee satisfaction.
I can.
When will your man do the job?
Well, will this afternoon suit you?
The sooner the better.
Good. Let's say 4:30.
Where shall I meet your man?
His name's Cannon, David Cannon.
Well, what about the lounge at the Hilton?
Lovely.
When Angela Parsons had left my office, I gave instructions to Mrs. Gamble that Cannon was to come and see me immediately. He came promptly, and I apprised him of the facts supplied by Mrs. Parsons.
Sounds pretty careless.
Yes, Cannon, but she admitted it.
Nice.
Captivating. A lady, but married.
Pity. Well, how will I know what she looks like?
Oh, just make yourself known to the most beautiful woman of 40 in the Hilton Lounge. That will be she.
Any special instructions?
Well, I think you'll need pliers, screwdriver, spanners, boiler suit, or a lamp which you can strap to your forehead.
Mm-hmm. 4:30, you said.
That's right. Well, what's the joke?
Well, I'm a sucker for a beautiful woman, but this will be the first time I've got on my hands and knees for one.
For once, it was a short journey for Cannon, along Half Moon Street into Curzon Street, and then left into Park Lane. Something of a record. As I predicted, Cannon had no difficulty in identifying our client. She was having tea and toying nervously with a cigarette.
You'll be Mrs. Parsons.
That's right.
The name's Cannon. I work for Aubrey Mason.
How do you do?
How do you do? Now, where's the location?
The what?
How do we get to the basement?
Oh, we'll take the lift.
Okay, let's go.
A tight squeeze for you.
I've been in tighter spots than this. It's about, 50 feet to where the down duct joins this one.
There's a strong draft in there. Do you think it's conceivable that my earring will have been drawn further along the duct towards the fan?
Possible, but unlikely. We'll see.
It only took a few moments for Cannon to remove the wire grill from the end of the duct. He did this by standing on the boot of Mrs. Parsons' car. He then donned his boiler suit, strapped a miner's lamp to his forehead, and hoisted himself into the narrow opening. Once inside, Cannon proceeded to wriggle on his belly along the 30-inch square duct.
Only hope this thing's strong enough to support me. Well, it's not far to fall, but I get pretty shaken up in the process. Now then, let's see. Not much further. What a heck of a way to earn a living. Still, never a dull moment. Now, here we are. Now, this is where the vertical duct joins the big horizontal one. This should be around here somewhere. It's quite a drop from the first floor. It must have bounced. Maybe broken. Nope, nothing here. Well, maybe it's further along towards the fan. Here we go again. And now I know how a rabbit must feel after a rough night out. Nope. Not here either. There's nothing here except an envelope stuck on the grill next to the fan. I wonder.
With Super Blue, puts true whiteness back into your watch.
A real white, a true white.
It's Super Blue! What?
Trust Surf to get your wash truly white.
The white of Surf with Super Blue.
Deurbraak en pijnverlichting. Aspro, nieuwe microverfijnde Aspro. Aspro is nou microverfijn vir versnelde verlichting van pijn. Nou bereik Aspro die bloedstroom meer as 2 keer vinniger. Laat pijn meer as 2 keer vinniger verdwijn. Aspro, nieuwe microverfijnde Aspro.
Clean a breath, clean a taste, clean a teeth. 3 ways clean, that's Colgate clean. Brush your teeth the Colgate way. Help clean your breath, help fight decay.
And now you could help yourself to a big cash prize in the Colgate Dental Cream Spot the Errors contest.
Yes, there's 2,500 rand in cash prizes to be won.
Full details at Colgate Dental Cream displays. Also, big savings on special packs.
Get Colgate Dental Cream now.
I was beginning to think you got lost.
Wow. You just let me get down from up here. Oh, well, that's that. No earring.
Of course not. Where's the envelope?
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Mr. Cannon, I'm in no mood to indulge you and your wisecracking. I want that envelope. Or else.
Well, you must want it pretty badly. Do you mind pointing that thing the other way? I get pretty nervous looking into the barrel of a gun because it's been my experience they have a nasty habit of going off.
To say that the lady's change of attitude and manner was a surprise to Cannon is putting it very mildly indeed. He was shocked and not a little nervous.
Well, I must say you had me fooled. It's not often I'm taken for a sucker like this.
Please be reasonable and sensible, Mr. Cannon. You can see you have no choice. You've got the envelope. Hand it over.
Well, you know, I've often been told I'm blessed with a sixth sense. I guess I must be. I mean, why else would I have left the envelope where it is?
You did what?
That's right. Go ahead, look in my pockets.
Oh, why?
Hey, look out, there's a car coming down the ramp.
What?
Thanks. I'll take this. That's better. Now, you just keep your distance, huh?
Oh! All right, Mr. Cannon. You've got the upper hand. If you care to examine that pistol, you'll find it isn't loaded.
Correct. Okay, now, you be a good girl and put it away.
Thank you.
And suppose you tell me what's going on. Why didn't you tell us it was an envelope you wanted? You'd have saved us both a lot of trouble.
I didn't know I could trust you.
We don't advertise the fact, but we're very discreet about the assignments we undertake.
All right. Are you sure it won't go any further?
Except to Mr. Mason, and it's safer with him than with the Bank of England.
Well, it happened like this. Yesterday afternoon, I came down into the basement with my car, having been to see some friends in Richmond. I parked it over there. I switched off the engine, and I opened the door to step out.
Allow me.
What?
How do you do?
Oh, you gave me such a fright, I didn't see you.
I know.
You know?
I've been waiting for you. You don't know me. Allow me to introduce myself. Cyril Purdy.
Oh, how do you do? You wish to see me?
I know about you. Or to be more precise, let me say, I know about your husband.
My husband?
And, the goings on.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come, Mrs. Parsons, you're not a fool. Neither am I. Let's not beat about the bush. I assure you that what I say is true, and I'll tell you how I know. You see, I've made it my business to, how shall I put it, keep an eye on your husband's affairs. Well?
I think I know what you want. Money?
Please.
For what?
Why, for my silence. What else?
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you?
I have to be.
You must have something to justify your confidence.
I have.
What?
These.
What are they?
Allow me. Charming, aren't they? Photography is something of a hobby of mine. A very lucrative hobby.
I've never been so disgusted in all my life.
Come now. You weren't unaware of this sort of thing?
No. But it's something I've tried not to think about. And now...
And now, here it is under your very nose.
How much do you want?
Well, after very careful consideration about your husband's income and position in society, I've decided to settle for £10,000.
In return for which you will give me those photographs?
Correct.
What if I can't raise the money?
Well, that possibility never occurred to me. You must. And if you want these photographs badly enough, you will.
What if I tell you to go to the devil?
Well, that would be extremely foolish of you. These photographs could ruin your husband. They could also ruin your marriage. You'd be hounded out of the country.
I'm going to need time to think about this.
Oh, but of course, dear lady. In the meantime, I'll return these photographs to their envelope. Here.
You don't feel so confident now, do you, Mr.
I'm warning you, Mrs. Parsons. If you try anything foolish, I shall be most severe with you.
Keep away from me.
You don't think I'm fool enough to let you get away with those photographs, do you? I'm not letting £10,000 slip through my fingers. I've put too much time and energy into my scheme. Give them back to me.
Keep away from me, you beast.
I'm a patient man, Mrs. Parsons, but I also have a violent temper.
You wouldn't dare lay a finger on me.
Wouldn't I?
He lunged towards me and I cried out. I didn't know what to do. I was alone in this basement garage and I knew that that sort of man will stop at nothing. I couldn't run to the lift. There wasn't time. He would have caught me. On the other hand, he was blocking the other exit, the ramp up to the street. And then I saw the grill at the end of the horizontal air conditioning duct. I remembered feeling the movement of air as I walked past it to the lift early that morning. I rolled the envelope into a cylinder, which I hoped would have a small enough diameter, and I suddenly dashed to the grill. Before Purdy knew what I was doing, I'd slipped it through, and I felt extremely gratified to see the draft catch at the envelope and suck it away into the darkness.
What have you done? Where's the envelope?
It's in there, and there's not a thing you can do about it.
Oh, are you...
No!
What's going on here?
What?
Leave that woman alone!
Blast!
I say, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, perfectly all right, thank you. You came just in time. I thought I was going to faint, but I didn't. The man wanted to call the police, but fortunately I was able to persuade him that it wasn't necessary. He thought I'd been molested.
This Mr. Purdy sounds like a nasty piece of work.
He's worse than an animal.
Do you think he'll bother you again?
I don't know. I've got no guarantee that he won't.
Well, it seems to me that I've got to go and get that envelope for you. Then it's up to you what you do with it.
Thank you, Mr. Cannon.
And so, once again, Cannon climbed onto the boot of the car, and from there he reached up and wriggled into the air duct. He crawled the 70 feet or so to the grill next to the extraction fan, on which was the envelope containing the photographs. He tucked it into the pocket of his boiler suit and then wriggled backwards to the comparative comfort of the basement garage. He replaced the wire grill and jumped off the car to the basement floor.
Well, this time it's for real. Well, I guess we can go home now. I'll go back to 33 and make up my report.
Mr. Cannon, do you have to record all the details of what's happened?
No, I guess the report will say how our client wanted an earring retrieved and how the job was done. Just for Mr. Mason's private information, I'll tell him what really happened, but it won't go any further than that.
Thank you.
You know, Mrs. Parsons, I haven't known you for very long. In fact, it's not been an hour since we met, but it's not often a man has the good fortune of meeting a lady, and a lady with tremendous spirit and backbone. It's been quite a privilege.
Again, thank you.
Congratulations, Mr. Cannon.
Purdy?
That was a very noble speech. One rarely finds a man being so gallant to a lady these days.
Purdy, I don't want to have to soil my hands on you. But if you're not out of here pretty soon, I'm going to tear you apart.
How long have you been standing there?
Long enough.
What's the joke?
I'm afraid the joke's on you, Mr. Cannon. You've been misled.
Mr. Purdy, please.
I'm surprised you haven't recognized your client.
Recognized?
Allow me to introduce you. Mr. Cannon, I'd like you to meet Lady Geraldine Farquharson. Well, Mr. Cannon?
Farquharson?
Wife of Sir Hugh Farquharson, Member of Parliament for West Grinstead and the Cabinet's Minister of Agriculture.
Oh, you swine, Purdy. You loathsome swine.
Well, thanks for the information, Purdy, but I don't see what difference it makes. Lady Farquharson asked us to do a job for her. It's been done and paid for. And if she wishes her identity to be kept a secret, it's no concern of ours. You'd better go.
You're obviously both intelligent people. I'm amazed it hasn't occurred to you that to print photographs, one needs negatives. The negatives of those photographs are in an extremely safe place. You don't think I'd be foolish enough to present myself and my demand bearing the only photographs in existence? One must allow for accidents.
Purdy, you're going to have the nastiest accident of your
life. No, don't bluster, Mr. Cannon. I hold the whip hand. Threats will avail you nothing. Now, let's talk business. The price is the same. You give me £10,000, cash, and I will destroy the negatives in your presence.
No.
Lady Farquharson, you're joking.
I'm perfectly serious. I neither want nor need your negatives.
Vir volmaakte pas, volmaakte drapering en die jeugdige weelde van suiwer nuutwol, kyk uit na die wolmerk op die etiket. Hierdie internasionale waarmerk is u waarborg van die wêreld se beste suiwer nuutwol, die mode se voorkeurvesel. Moenie raai nie, die wolmerk is u waarborg.
There are always places that are hard to keep clean, like drains, sinks, and dustbins, places that breed deadly microscopic germs. You need a specially formulated disinfectant to eradicate germs and odors, like Sanpic with Super Pine. Sanpic liquid or penetrating Sanpic spray, perfect for hideaway places. Use it regularly. Sanpic kills germs in seconds.
Rook met nuwe lus, rook Ransom en u smaak sal getuig. Dis Virginie se tabak op sy beste. Ransom bied u die ryk, aangename geur van uitsoek Virginie se tabak met die eksklusiewe Ransom Multifilter wat daardie noodsaaklike balans tussen tabak en filter behou. 'N Nuwe ondervinding in rookgenot. Ransom vir die man wat baie rook en dit geniet.
The faces of both Purdy and Cannon must have been perfect pictures of surprise and disbelief. She'd been so anxious to have in her possession the photographs from the air duct, and having been informed by Purdy they were worthless by virtue of the fact that he held the negatives, she calmly informed Purdy that she didn't want them.
Gentlemen, it seems I owe you both an explanation. Mr. Purdy, you have been laboring under a misapprehension. You assume that I would be more than willing to cover up my husband's amorous adventures. And you, Mr. Cannon, mistook me, or perhaps I misled you, mistook me for the brave little wife trying to protect her husband's reputation and save her marriage. Not so. I've been married to Hugh Farquharson for 14 years. The misery of those years has been indescribable. My husband has had a succession of girls, secretaries, hotel receptionists, waitresses, typists, and girls who are laughingly referred to as models. My husband indulged himself to the extent of being on the threshold of bankruptcy. I have my clothes. I have some jewelry and a fine motor car. But in the event of a divorce, I have no hope of alimony. These photographs provide me with exactly what I want. A, they are the perfect evidence for divorce, and B, they're very valuable. You see, gentlemen, I have sold the story of my life with my husband to a well-known Sunday newspaper, but the editor required proof. He didn't believe that what I wrote was true. Now, when I show him these photographs, he will pay me enough money for me to live in the manner to which I have been unaccustomed. You, Mr. Purdy, have nothing. But someday I'm sure you'll get what's coming to you. You, Mr. Cannon, have been extremely courteous and kind. At least you have a fee for your services. Goodbye.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
The purpose of a labor exchange is to provide employment, temporary or permanent. The fact is, I can't guarantee or recommend any applicant. Unless they have a criminal record, I'm in no position to say whether they're reliable or not.
It will be for 3 weeks only, monsieur, and the pay is good, eh?
But I can't guarantee that the man you employ can be trusted. I merely type out the details of the job offered and post it on the notice board. You must then choose from those who apply.
I am newly arrived in England, monsieur. It will be difficult for me to judge.
I tell you what. Why don't you try one of the independent agencies? Assignments Unlimited. Grosvenor 5995. The address, if you wish to call on them, is 33 Half Moon Street.
Aubrey Mason at your service. At Assignments Unlimited, we do anything, anywhere, at any time.
33 Half Moon Street.
Chips for the fishmonger. Not all the tasks undertaken by Assignments Unlimited are spectacular or particularly dangerous. In fact, the unusual is the exception rather than the rule. The nervous little old Frenchman who came into my office requested the services of our organization for a task which was mundane in application and only unusual in a theatrical sense. I'd already mentally slotted Cannon into the vacant niche and wondered what his reaction would be. Monsieur Paul Duclair, for such was the clown's name, wished the services of a night attendant over the preserved body of a dead whale. On reflection, it was perhaps an unusual request. I said so.
You did say a dead whale, Monsieur Duclair. A magnificent exhibit. A Greenland whale. I began with a blue sperm whale, but found it too large to transport through the doors of most halls that I hire.
Extraordinary.
You see, a whale bone is immensely strong, and I discovered that if the inside of the beast is removed and the carcass inflated with air, it is possible to preserve the outer skin and membrane with formaldehyde. In time, the shell hardens and the air can be released.
Well, that's most interesting, Monsieur Duclair. I take it that you then exhibit the whale.
Oui. I have had great success in France, and I have now come to your country for a short tour of 3 weeks before I go on to the United States, where I hope to enjoy singular success.
Well, just out of interest, Monsieur Duclair, how do you pump up the whale in the first place?
Good question. On top of the head is contained a pocket of ambergris. This has a high commercial value, and when removed, leaves a small funnel leading to the interior of the beast. Into this, a hose is connected, and voila!
But don't you have to make a cut in the thing to clean it?
No, that is done through the mouth. So now we have a good circulation of air that helps to preserve the beast.
Some beast.
The greatest of all living things, monsieur. The noblest creature in all creation.
Yes, I'm sure. But what exactly do you wish us to do?
I require a night watchman of impeccable integrity. He will also be required during his tour of duty at night to pump formaldehyde into the creature.
Which sounds simple enough. Why must the man's character be so blameless?
An exhibit of this nature is prey to vandals, monsieur. Many times in France have I been accosted by those who would cut into the exhibit to satisfy their morbid curiosity that what I have on show is really the genuine article.
Well, needless to say, I have just the man for the job. I'm not sure how you'll take it. It's an odd request. But you may rest assured, no vandal will come near your well.
I am delighted, Monsieur Mason.
What were you thinking of paying this night watchman?
I thought £15 a night.
Cannon will be happy to pump formaldehyde all night for that money.
I beg your pardon, Monsieur?
Cannon, one of our men here, he'll be delighted to take on the job. Where and when must he report?
Oh, tonight, if it is possible, at the Exeter Hall in Camberwell.
He'll be there.
Cannon, you say?
That's right. I might send him down this afternoon just to give the place the once-over. Oh,
that would be admirable, Monsieur Mason. Thank you, and good day to you.
Good day, Monsieur Duclair. Whatever the peculiarities of our profession, we never refer to any task as an odd job. We try to avoid weeding gardens wherever possible. But our boast is that we'll tackle anything. And it was to Cannon's sense of professional duty that I appealed when he came into my office. He left for Camberwell at 3:30, and I sensed that our relationship had become a little strained. An hour later, he reported back by telephone. Assignments Unlimited.
You can say that again.
Oh, hello, Cannon. How are you making out?
Well, I've met De Gaulle's answer to Moby Dick, and I've had 5 minutes instruction on the formaldehyde pump.
Good. Is it a real well?
Are you kidding? The caretaker's cat's had a brainstorm. It's just my luck to get a job playing nursemaid to an oversized kipper.
Oh, it's only for 3 weeks, Cannon. You're part of show business.
Yeah, and everybody's having a whale of a time.
That was corny. Remember what Duclair said about vandalism? It's on the cards that the Camberwell boys might take it into their heads to carve up his exhibit.
Well, if they do, it'll provide a light relief from the formaldehyde pump. Now, one thing about this guy Duclair, though, he's got a sense of humor. He slipped me a tip when I arrived.
Good for him. What was it?
A fin.
Well, time I was getting home, Mr. Cannon, I locked up everywhere.
Yeah, it was quite a night, wasn't it? Who would have thought this dump sported 1,000 Arctic theologists?
What's that, Mr. Cannon?
Fish fanciers.
You know, in all my years as caretaker here, I've never seen such a crowd. And just to look at a whale.
Well, now you got a new angle on a poor fish. Look, I'll lock the front door after you. What time are you coming in the morning?
Well, I don't usually get here till 10.
Then I won't see you, my friend. My French employer says he'll be here at 7.
What will you do about supper? There's a shop on the corner that stays open till 2, they say.
No, thanks. I'll munch on a sandwich. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Cannon.
Well, I guess I'll get out the formaldehyde pump, and then I can settle down with a magazine. No one would have thought a guy could make money out of a dead whale, but this operator coins it. 2,000 times 2 shillings. Oh, boy. Well, Moby, here comes your first shot. I must be going crazy. That was a scream, and it didn't come from a dead whale. No. Door's all locked. There's nobody in the rafters. Well, I didn't imagine that. I don't believe in ghosts, but there's nobody here. Hey, wait a minute. What did Duclair say about the hollow inside of this whale? So somebody's being smart in Camberwell. Okay. Flashlight. The mouth, he said. Here we are. Okay. The party's over. Come on out of there. Why are you being smart? Come on out, you get.
Oh,
Well, now give.
Give?
Before I call the cops, you better come clean and tell me what the idea is, hiding inside that carcass.
The police? Oh, no!
You're foreigners. You mixed up with Monsieur Duclair?
No, sir. We are Russians.
Russians? Well, this gets screwier every minute. How'd you get in there?
We hid behind a veil during the lunchtime closing, then we climbed in through the moat.
How did you know you could get in that way?
I think Anushka, we better tell him everything. We, Anushka and I, are from the Russian Mosleyev dancers. You have heard of the Mosleyev folk dancers?
Uh-huh. You are at the Empire Hall.
That is so. We came here from France, and it was in France when we first saw the veil and learned that the interior was hollow. The Mosleyev company is due to return to Russia on the day after tomorrow, and Anushka and I decided to escape.
Escape? From what?
From Russia, sir.
Oh, you mean political asylum?
Yes.
But that doesn't explain why you hid out inside a dead whale.
If we ask for political asylum in England, it would be granted, but it would be easy for the Russian Secret Service to find us. They are most efficient and would track us down wherever we went. And so, Anushka and I hit upon a plan whereby we might vanish without trace.
You see, sir, the veil is to be shipped to America. We have a large supply of food and water, and it was our intention to stay hidden inside the veil until it reached the United States. We could come out at night when all was quiet and hide back inside during the day. Once in America, we know where we can find friends.
Well, why do you know? That's one up on Jonah. You mean you go to all that trouble just to get to the States?
The Russian secret police do not take kindly to escapists.
We have families in Russia, sir.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have a bad plan at that. You disappear without trace in England. They check and find you haven't applied for political asylum. They check the airports and shipping lines and draw a blank. It only figures that something must have happened to you, like suicide. So they forget all about you.
And they forget about our family, sir.
Uh-huh. Tell me, Monsieur Duclair, does he know about this?
No one knows, except you.
Well, that's all right. Your secret's safe with me.
But are you not from the police?
No. I'm the watchman.
You are the watchman?
Yeah. Fate, I guess. I was born under the zodiac sign of Pisces.
But the watchman in France was a much older man.
Yes, we know that he slept most of the night. We know that if we made no noise, we could safely creep out after dark.
Well, with me, you don't have to worry about noise. Noise? Say, what were you screaming about inside there anyway?
Oh.
Well, what is it?
In the darkness, he tripped over something.
Uh-huh.
I put on my torch and there is the body of a man with a knife through his heart.
Brennan's jaw dropped so that he resembled in miniature the very object he was guarding. Whatever my employee's faults, he's not lacking in analytical intelligence. His colleagues would say, as sharp as a whip. One look at the dejected and terrified faces of the two young folk dancers was enough to convince Cannon that they at least were on the level. His reaction was straightforward and immediate.
Anushka, you stay here. Mikhail, you're going back inside that whale.
Oh. Well, if you insist.
I do insist, and what's more, I'm coming with you.
Mikhail.
It's all right, Anushka. I am not afraid.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now then, put on the flashlight. Now, where is it?
They're right there.
As you said, a knife through the heart. Do you know this man?
I think I have seen him somewhere. I cannot be sure.
Well, have a good look. The formaldehyde must have seeped into him. He's well preserved.
How long do you think he's been there?
Well, should I know? You only stumble on him by accident. The way he's preserved, he could have been there months. Okay, let's get out of this mausoleum. It gives me the creeps.
Are you just going to leave the body there?
Sure. In this country, in cases of murder, the body's left where it's found, untouched, so as not to hamper the work of the police.
Oh.
Here we go. You first.
What? You can't help me.
Mihail.
The body is there, as we saw it. Anushka hoped she might be dreaming. I can't say I feel much different, sir. This is the end for us.
No. Come on, cheer up. It might be the beginning.
When the police come, they will hold us as witnesses. Our defection will then be discovered. We will be taken back to Russia.
Yeah, that's the point, Mikhail.
And,
corpse in the body of a whale, two Russian refugees. Hey, hang on, there's a phone here somewhere. Look, Mikhail, while I telephone, you go back inside there and remove all traces of your presence. Didn't you say that you brought food?
Yes.
Well, get it out. Make sure there's no traces of your having been in there. If there's the slightest clue to link you with the dead man, you'll wind up here the same as you would in Russia.
Cannon's call came through to my apartment and woke me from a deep sleep. At first, I thought he'd lost his reason and then that it was all a joke to get me out of bed and repay me for the task I'd handed him. But he finally convinced me that Mikhail and Anushka were real people and that their plight was a tragic one. I gave him the only advice that seemed sensible at the time. The young Russian runaways would be safe for a while, at least in Cannon's flat.
Okay, that's settled.
Did you telephone the police?
No, my chief. I'm taking you to my flat in Chelsea. You'll be safe there for a while. Did you get everything out, Mikhail?
Yes, everything, sir.
Now, let's see. 2:15. Chances of any vandals coming now are pretty remote. I've got a car at the back of the hall, and I can have you in my place in 20 minutes. I'll drop you and come back, and then I'll ring the police. Pick up your gear and follow me. Come on. Go right in.
Oh,
it's strictly a bachelor's apartment, ma'am, but you could give it the feminine touch.
Don't know how to say
thank you. Well, then don't try. Help yourselves to anything you want. I must get back to the whale.
Oh, the whale?
Well, don't tell me you forgot.
Oh, Anushka, the candle. I left the candle.
What are you talking about?
You told me to make sure nothing was left inside. I lit a candle so that I could see properly. I left it burning.
You left a candle burning inside? But the blubber, the formalda, that fish is more inflammable than an oil refinery.
Let me through, will you? Excuse me. Thanks.
No further, sir.
Huh?
The roof's going in any minute.
Well, it'll be gutted. The entire building will be gutted.
Yeah, it looks like it, sir.
Monsieur Cannon, yeah? I've looked everywhere for you. I thought you might still be inside.
Monsieur Duclair, well, it looks like my first job as a night watchman got off to a bad start.
No, do not distress yourself. It was very short, but how did it happen?
Happen? Well, that's quite a question. I'm not sure.
But where were you when it happened?
I was having a smoke.
Tell me just what you did, Monsieur Cannon.
Well, I pumped in the formaldehyde like you showed me, and then I sat down on the bench to have a smoke. Suddenly, the whale started to smoke, too. You know what I mean?
Yes, the stroke of luck.
Luck?
The whale is in short, as I said. I do not regret losing it.
But it's burned down the entire hall. The place is a raging inferno. There'll be nothing left.
No, nothing left. Absolutely nothing.
And, that's about everything, Chief.
Now, what makes you so suspicious of Monsieur Duclair?
I don't know. It's maybe the way he looked at that fire. He was enjoying it. Seemed like he was hoping the thing would be destroyed.
Oh, it might just have been the excitement. The entire building was raised to the ground. There's nothing but a heap of ashes.
Well, don't you see? That body inside the well was reduced to a heap of ashes, too. Whoever that guy was, he wound up in his own crematorium.
Yes, I checked on the Russian dancers. They're officially listed as missing. Mark you, that doesn't mean they weren't responsible for the killing. We've no idea who that man might have been, and now it seems we'll never know. Just supposing he was an official of the Russian secret police.
Yeah, sure, well, I'm going to cry about that.
Oh, that's not the point. This is England. Well, man, no one has the right to take another man's life.
Okay, Chief, thanks for the moral lecture.
I'm serious. If those two youngsters did kill a man from the Russian police, then they must be handed over to the authorities.
Well, you're right, of course, as always. But how are we going to prove who he was? How can we even prove that there was a man in there in the first place? There's nothing left, not a single solitary thing.
Yes?
Monsieur.
I'll send him in, please.
No. What do you suppose he wants?
Well, he won't have come to congratulate us on our efficiency as night watchmen.
Ah, bonjour, Monsieur Maison. Monsieur Canon.
Monsieur Ducoeur.
I'm most regrettable about the exhibitor.
Yes. Won't you take a chair?
Thank you. I explained to Monsieur Canon that financially there is nothing to worry about. The exhibit was well insured, and I shall suffer no financial loss.
I'm glad to hear that.
But I shall require your assistance.
You're going to pump up another well?
Oh, no. It concerns the insurance. At the time of the accident, I was in bed in my hotel. In fact, the old porter woke me and told me of the disaster. Monsieur Canon was in charge of the exhibit at the time, and I would like a statement from him accepting full responsibility.
Now, just a minute. You may be insured, but we're not. If you read your contract, you'll find the indemnity clause in case of accident.
Oh, it is not that, monsieur. I require a letter only to show that the exhibit was destroyed by accident. To please the insurance company, you understand, huh?
Yes, I do.
Of course, I would pay for the service.
When do you want the letter, Monsieur Duclerc?
I would like to get it off to France as soon as possible. It will save me the journey over there. If the insurance company is satisfied, they will pay out to their London office.
I'll get on to it right away, monsieur. This afternoon?
Ah, perfect. Thank you. Well, good day, gentlemen.
Goodbye, monsieur.
Bye, monsieur. You know, Chief, something about that whale smells awful fishy.
Perhaps. But I wonder why he doesn't just hop over the channel and collect the insurance money.
Maybe he doesn't want to show his face in France.
Show his face? Canon, I wonder.
Chief, I don't like that look.
Are the Russian runaways still in your flat?
Where else?
You're sure no one's seen them?
Certain. I can't stall Cleaner forever, but he's been stalled before. A different reason, naturally.
Yeah, I can guess what it is. I want to have a talk to them.
They were as Canon described them, just two nice kids. However desperate their plight, I just couldn't imagine them plunging a knife into a man's heart. And the setting for the murder was too macabre for them to contemplate. I asked them about the exhibit they'd seen in France.
How did you find out about the entrance into the well?
By watching the caretaker. He was an old man and rather surly. The well was on show in the Place de la Poste, and we hid behind one of the pillars. We saw him climb in through the mouth. When we heard that the well was to come to London and then to go to America, we hit upon our plan.
Did you meet Monsieur Duclerc? He's the owner.
I don't think so. It was the caretaker we watched.
You said to Cameron that you might have seen the dead man somewhere before.
I think so, but I cannot be certain.
Well, there's no chance now for a second look. If you saw the caretaker again, would you recognize him?
Oh, yes. Anushka, too.
I would know him anywhere.
I'll just use your phone, Cameron. What hotel is to care in?
Regent Palace.
Good morning. Oh, I'd like to speak to Monsieur Duclerc, please. Thank you. I'm going to invite him to the office early. I want Mikhail and Anushka hidden in the inner office where they can see him. Hello? Oh, Monsieur Duclerc. Oh, this is Mason, Assignments Unlimited. Yes, I've nearly finished it. Tell me, for how long was the whale insured? Yes, it couldn't have lasted forever, could it? I see. Right after the American exhibition, you were destroyed. Well, may I ask how? Yes, of course. Well, what better grave for a whale than to be dumped into the sea? Can we make it 1 o'clock? Thank you, that's fine. Goodbye. There's no doubt about it now. Canon, in that outer office with these youngsters, I want two more people. Detective inspectors from the murder squad. The stage was set for Monsieur Duclerc's arrival. The police officers were fully briefed, and Mikhail and Anushka waited apprehensively. When Duclerc arrived, they recognized him immediately, not as Duclerc, but as the old caretaker. Publicity photographs of the real Duclerc were immediately seen to be those of the dead man and the whale. Cannon, for once, was impressed.
Well, not bad, Chief. Not bad at all. But what made him do it?
Jealousy, probably. Like you, he didn't fancy having a whale as a bed companion while his employer lived off the fat of the land.
The fat of the whale?
Oh, all right. He murdered his boss and left his body inside the exhibit. Later, all evidence would have been removed when the whale was dumped in the Atlantic. Cunning. But he couldn't take a chance on going back to France. He might have been recognized by someone in the insurance company. So he had to stay undercover.
Undercover? That reminds me, two Russian dancers have to be smuggled into the States somehow.
Funny you should mention that. I was just about to brief you on your next assignment.
Oh, no.
Well, there you are. That's how the fishmonger had his chips.